As we start today's service, in the hymnal, number 603, we're not going to sing this. This is a prayer that Dwight D. Eisenhower, I was a little boy when Dwight D. Eisenhower was president of the United States. And I want you to look back at how presidents were all through our history and what they did in prayer. He said, "Before all else, we seek upon our common labor as a nation the blessing of Almighty God, and the hopes in our hearts fashion the deepest prayers for our whole people. May we pursue the right without self-righteousness. May we know unity without conformity. May we grow in strength without pride in self. May we in our dealings with all peoples of the earth may speak the truth and serve justice. May the light of freedom coming to all darkened lands flame brightly until at last the darkness is no more. May the turbulence of our age yield to a true time of peace, when men and nations shall share a life that honors the dignity of each other, the brotherhood of all." Almighty God has blessed this nation. We want to keep those blessings coming, and there are some things that we as a nation must do in order to have God continue to bless America. So we're going to read the 85th Psalm right now. I'll ask you to stand with me as we read it. This is a picture of what happened to the nation of Israel just before the Lord brought judgment. I believe if the nation doesn't turn, and we are turning the right way just the last few months here, but boy, we got a long ways to go. Judgment may fall here, and so we want to honor our Lord. It says, "You, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, God our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God, the Lord, says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps." Father, as we study your word today, show us the situation we are in our nation. Help us to do what we can, looking to you to do what only you can do, to truly help make this one nation under God. And Lord, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if you know it or not, but in 1954, when Eisenhower was president, the Congress changed the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America. Up until 1954, the words "one nation under God" were not there. That was put in 1954. Things have changed drastically since those days, but we still want to be one nation under our God. Psalm 85 is a hymn of the nation of Israel and was sung on many of their national holidays. I want to use it today to speak to you about what's going on in America and the fact that we today are at a crossroads in our nation. Either we're going to pursue the Lord and his word and his righteous declarations, or we're going to go down the other path that Israel went down, and pursued the nations around them, their gods, their ways, their plans. The choice is ours, but I want to share you with you on the basis of what God did with the children of Israel and what God will do with our nation if we turn back to Him. So as I look at this psalm, many say that it was sung by three different choirs. The first choir sang the first three verses. They stopped. The second choir picked up the next few verses, and then they stopped. And then a soloist sang the finish of the psalm. So I want to start out with the first choir. The first choir is singing a call to celebrate, because God really had blessed the nation of Israel. They truly were, under David's leadership and Solomon's, the greatest nation in the world at that time. It says in Psalm 85:1, "You, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger." In those first three verses, you'll see the word "you" four times. The praise goes to the Lord. The psalmist knows Israel isn't great because of the people. Because the Lord told those people, "I didn't choose you because you're a righteous nation. You are a stiff-necked people." What does a stiff-necked person do? They got one view in mind. They're going to do what they want to do. But the Lord softened their hearts. And the nation turned to the Lord, and the Lord blessed them greatly. They were the greatest nation of the time. They had the greatest wealth. During Solomon's reign, they were bringing in gold literally by the tons in ships. They had more wealth than any nation around them. They had more food than they could possibly use. The Lord was blessing. But then under Solomon, at the end of his reign, the nation began to move away from following the Lord. In fact, Solomon, sadly for him, in his last years built temples for his wives. Anybody know how many wives Solomon had? 700 wives and 300 concubines. Those wives, the Lord warned the kings of Israel, if you marry too many women, they're going to take your heart away from the Lord. And the Lord warned all the people of Israel, only marry a believing Jew like yourself. Don't marry, intermarry with the nations around you, or they'll take your heart away. Well, Solomon, as an old man, wound up building temples and worshiping the idols that his wives worshipped. Folks, it can happen to anybody, but as the leadership of a nation goes, often that's the way the nation goes. And the nation did. They fell into idolatry, and because of that, the Lord was about to bring judgment. This first three verses are all in praise of the Lord, what He's done for this nation. That nation was chosen by God to be His people. The Lord chose them. Just as Israel was greatly blessed by God because He chose them, our nation has been blessed by God equally because why? Because instead of God choosing us, we chose Him. As a nation, our founding fathers, many of them, in fact, the vast majority of them, were born again Christian men. They worshiped the Lord, they were thankful to the Lord, and many of the documents that we have, the early founding documents, are extremely important to teach to our children and our grandchildren, because it will teach them the foundation of the nation. We need to be thankful for God's blessing upon us politically. And I know the word politics is just a dirty word in many people's minds, but politics, all it is just people that have a view on something that has studied how to influence other people to take their view. We live in a democratic republic. It means we're run by the will of the people. And so politicians who are servants of God, hopefully first, and then servants of the people they serve, are good politicians. We rejoice in that. I don't know if you know it or not, but Donald Trump has never taken one penny in pay from our government as president. Why? Number one, he doesn't need it, for sure. But number two, he wants you to know he's not there for himself. He's there serving us. And I praise the Lord for that. Is Donald Trump right in everything he does? Probably not. But I think he's right in most of the things he's doing, and I rejoice in that. Politicians. The very word, oftentimes, many people have a real problem with that. But God has called us to be politicians, to influence people, not just on your particular political slant, but to influence people to follow the Lord. And so you, in a sense, are a politician too, if you're following the Lord and trying to win others to Christ. It's an extremely important thing. Now, you say, well, so many politicians are crooked. Well, I got to tell you the truth. So many pastors are crooked too. Some people are in the pastorate just to make huge sums of money. And some of them are very, very successful at it. But not every pastor is that way. The vast majority of pastors are serving people. They could make far more doing a different kind of work. But the Lord has called them, and so we rejoice. I rejoice in every good politician that's trying to serve the Lord by serving his people. So nothing wrong with that. I want to thank the Lord today that we live in a democratic republic. It's so important that you understand what that is. It doesn't mean everybody gets to do what they want. We are a nation of laws, and those laws are made, by and large, by our politicians. And so I want to encourage young people, think about that maybe as an option for your vocation. Nothing wrong with that. Among the wonderful things we celebrate is right here in this building today. You and I have the right to worship God according to the dictates of our conscience. You can be in any church you want to be in. You don't need to be in a Baptist church. You could be in a United Methodist church. You could be in a Catholic church. You could be in a Lutheran church. You're free. Some countries, you don't have that freedom. Dave and I went out last Saturday calling, and you know, many countries in this world, we couldn't do that. We would literally be dead. If you went to Saudi Arabia today, and you went down the next house to you, and you knock on that door, and you say, hey, I'm Dave, and this is Pastor Jerry. We're here inviting people to church. We want to tell you about Jesus Christ. You wouldn't make it very long. If you were in Iran, you'd be dead. If you were in Uganda, they would mark your house, and they would come and burn you out. I praise the Lord. Here, we can go any way we want to go. We can leave tracks everywhere we go. We can talk to people about the Lord, and there's no reprisal. There's nobody coming after us. I understand once in a while you're going to get somebody that's not going to like you, and that's okay. But at least you get freedom here. We can talk to people about where our heart is with the Lord and encourage them from the Word of God to get to know more about Jesus Christ. God's also blessed this nation materially. How many of you had a good breakfast this morning? Most everybody, I think. Now, if you didn't, it was probably your choice. It wasn't that you didn't have any food. It's just that you chose not to eat breakfast. But I want to encourage you to think about people in this world. There are quite a few people in this world, in fact, I'm going to say a billion people at least, that don't know what they're going to have for breakfast or if they're even going to have breakfast or lunch or dinner. Last night, most all of us slept under a roof. We weren't too hot. We weren't too cold. Things were pretty nice. You didn't have to worry about the beasties because you got walls around your house. Many people don't have a house. Many people in our own nation don't have a house, but usually it's because of life choices. We have great wealth in our nation. I know you don't think you're wealthy, but if you've got a house, you're wealthier than most people in this world. If you've got a car, most of us have two cars, three cars, whatever. We go to houses where nobody's home. We go there and there's seven cars in the driveway and nobody's home. That means they probably got one or two more. Folks, we are a wealthy, wealthy land. People look at our nation and they envy us. A person without a college degree in our land who works hard can make a great living. We don't have to go to college to make a good living. I love the freedom we have. Sadly, many people are going to college taking classes that lead to not a job, but just huge indebtedness. We don't have to do that. I'm not against college. I went to college too. But be careful what you go for. Make sure at least it's going to make you a living. Because if all you get is a degree like one of my nieces did, one of my nieces got a four-year degree in art appreciation. What do you do with that? I'm sure there might be a few jobs out there, but there aren't very many. And she wound up being a waitress. Now, folks, you don't have to go 4 years to college to be a waitress. Okay? I just want to encourage you in that because a lot of people think, after high school, I must go to college. No, you don't have to. There are people out there with trades that would love to have you. They'll train you and pay you as you're being trained. Again, nothing wrong with college, depending upon your call. What caused America to prosper? Now, we know that there's great wealth in our land, underneath the land. We got coal, we got oil, we got all this different stuff. But there are other nations that have equally as much as we do that are not prospering. The difference is our obedience to the Lord, our walk with the Lord. So let me remind you of the fact that we must never, ever, ever get an opinion just because we have material things, that's going to make us happy. Jesus laid it out very clearly in his word, saying that your life does not consist in the abundance of things that we possess. We are blessed. Nothing wrong with material things. But there are a lot of people that have all the things money can buy and are the most miserable people you'll ever meet. So it's not just about things, but we praise the Lord that he did bless this nation materially. The nation of Israel had just come out of captivity in Egypt, moved over to the land of Israel, a land that was flowing with milk and honey before they ever got there. When they got there, God richly blessed them because the early settlers followed the Lord. But then the nation, as a nation, made a choice. We're going to start worshiping the gods around us. Not just Jehovah God. Now, we're going to worship him too, but we want to worship other gods. We want to get to know about what the people around us believe. Well, they found out what they believed, but the sad thing is it began to take their heart away. As long as we're close to the Lord, he's going to continue with the first choir. We're going to be blessed as a nation. Israel was blessed. In fact, in Psalm 85:2, it says, "You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger." The word forgive there really literally means to take away. When they would celebrate the different festivals, one of them was they would have two goats. One goat they would sacrifice, shed the blood. The other goat was called a scapegoat. The scapegoat, the priest would confess their own sin first on the head of the scapegoat. They'd put their hands on the head, confess their sin, and then the sin of the entire nation. And then a young man would lead that scapegoat out into the wilderness, and that's where it would stay, out in the wilderness. Meaning that God had removed their sins for another year, because number one, the blood was shed. But we know from the New Testament, the blood of bulls and goats can't take away sin. So the picture was that for this year, your sins are out there and God's not going to judge them. When Jesus Christ came, we get a bigger blessing. Because Jesus Christ is the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world, and it's not a scapegoat anymore. We don't have to do it every year anymore. We are most blessed. Our Lord wants to tell us today, the only way to be truly free is to make Jesus Christ Lord of our lives as a nation. People are screaming for more and more freedom. We want the freedom to abort our babies. We want the freedom to have a man marry a man. We want the freedom to be able to steal. Do you know in some of the bigger cities today, you can literally go into any drugstore you want to go into, And you can take up to $1,000 and they'll never arrest you? That's happening all over. Do you know what the results of that freedom is? Those big drugstores are leaving those towns. They're not going to do business there anymore. Why? Because you have to be able to make a profit to run a business. People think they're freedom, but it's actually robbing them. The Bible says that the enemy comes to seek to kill and destroy and devour. And we're seeing that all over our nation. In John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus replied, "Verily, truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. The only way to true freedom in our nation or any nation is to give what the Lord says is right and wrong and to respond to it. To say, "Lord, if you say this is wrong, I'm going to say this is wrong." And the whole nation has to come to that point in order for the Lord to continue to bless the nation. During the year of Jubilee, I don't know if you know that much about the Old Testament, but during the year of Jubilee, every 50th year in the nation of Israel, if you were a Jewish man, woman, boy, or girl, and you had to sell yourself as a slave because you came on hard times in your life and you couldn't make it, you could sell yourself as a slave, but on the 50th year, you went free. And so if you were in the 48th year of that cycle, and you became a slave on the 48th year, you only had 2 years to be a slave, and they had to set you free. Folks, the year of Jubilee is today for you. If you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, Jesus Christ wants to set you free today. If you're a slave to sin, and I don't care what's holding you down, for me it used to be pornography. For you it may be drugs, it may be alcohol, it may be I don't know what. But Jesus Christ will set you free. This is that year of Jubilee. But now the second choir stands up. The blessings for the nation of Israel are really fading fast. God is starting to bring judgment on this nation, and the second choir stands up and sings something that is time for you to investigate your life. Why is God beginning to take away the blessing? In Psalm 85:4, "Restore us again, God our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations?" And the sad answer is what? Yes, he will prolong his anger through all generations if those generations continue to disobey him. The nation of Israel was chosen by God. The nation of the United States of America chose God. It's an interesting thing. We're the only nation in our Constitution that says we're going to choose to be believers in the Creator God. It's a wonderful thing, and that's why I say you need to get to know about the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. Teach those things to your children because they're not being taught that, and they need to know. This really was a Christian nation and should be again. Why was God angry with the nation of Israel? Because they were worshiping other gods. The Bible says our God is a jealous God. It's like a wife with her husband. If a wife is walking down the road with her husband and a beautiful woman comes the other way and her husband can't get enough of looking, what happens? Wait a minute, I'm getting a little... And the same thing would be true if a man's walking down the road with his wife and a handsome, strong man comes the other way and she just can't stop looking. Marriage is what? Marriage is one man and one woman for life. We shouldn't be looking around and we get jealous. Our God is no different. He is a jealous God. He married you. When you received him as your Savior, you became part of his bride. We are to love him with all our hearts. When the nation of Israel began to admire the gods of the nations, and I just want to tell you, most of the gods of the nations allowed anything to go. Man, there's something in that, isn't it? I can do whatever I want to do, and I'm perfectly at home with this God. Folks, you know there are churches in our land today that teach exactly that. You can live any way you want to, and God loves you. No, that's not true. But sadly, many people are believing it. We need to go back to the founding of our nation, back to what made this nation great. And it was because they, number one, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and number two, strove to obey him. I'm not going to say they did it perfectly, but they did. In the Declaration of Independence, there's a paragraph, you're going to find these words when you read it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In that paragraph, you find some real statements of faith. We hold these truths. What does that mean? That means those men believe that the Word of God was the truth. We hold these truths. Where did they find those truths? They found those truths in the Word of God. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created. Where did they get the idea of all men were created? From the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You drop down to verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So as we move forward in time, almost everybody in our nation believed that up until about 1859. I just want to take you on a real quick course of what's happening in America. And it didn't just happen in the last 15 or 20 years. This has been going on for a while. Almost everybody in America at first followed the Lord. Most everybody believed that we are created beings. But in 1859, the world really began to change, and it changed rapidly after that. There was a man named Charles Darwin. He published a book, The Origin of the Species. That book, he basically said that every being, human beings and all the animals, owe their existence to a big blast that happened on the earth, and then everything began to come together, and from the dust of the ground, suddenly life sprang up. From non-life came life. And that book literally changed the world. An amazing thing that a man can do that. But what he taught was that mankind is not created in God's image. Man is just an animal, like all the other animals. We evolved from an amoeba to a two-celled thing to a four, to a cat, to a dog, to a monkey, to a man. And we're evolving further. There is no God, and therefore there is no Bible that's the truth, and therefore your life has how much meaning? It has zero meaning. It means nothing. You're going to live for 70, 80, 90 years, and you're going to die, and that's the end of the story. You close the book, the box is done, life is done. That book didn't just stay in science. That book moved to psychology. That book moved to politics. Karl Marx took that as the basis of something to start communism. Freud carried it into psychology, and John Dewey carried it into our schools. Folks, our schools, public schools, are teaching evolution as science. And the Bible says, beware of science falsely so called. Science, true science, is observable and it's repeatable. It'll do the same thing every time. And then we come up with what? A law of science. This is the way it works every time. You can try it yourself. It'll be exactly that way. You got a law. What is evolution? Evolution is a theory. Why is it still a theory after 150 years? Because you can't observe it and you can't repeat it. It's not happening. And I know young people say, well, this takes millions of years to evolve. Well, if it takes millions of years, I ought to be able to see something changing to something because it takes so long. I should see all the missing links. Charles Darwin himself said, if they don't find the missing links in my lifetime, evolution is not true. He died not believing in evolution because they didn't find the missing links. So in the early part of the 1900s, liberalism came along. It started in Germany, and it spread all across the European continent, and it came to the United States of America. It started on the East Coast, and it went down the Eastern Seaboard. Liberalism took the view that there's no such thing as absolute truth. In other words, your Bible that you have is just a guy's writings. That's all it is. You know, the Bible says it's not that way at all. But liberalism, and it hit into all of our churches. Many churches said, and I mentioned in Sunday school, Jimmy Carter, when he was president, said where Paul speaks of the place of women in the church, I disagree with Paul. If the Bible is really God's word and you disagree with Paul, who are you disagreeing with? You're disagreeing with God. And so liberalism came out and it agreed with Darwin that there is no God, there's no creator. We just evolved. And liberalism began to spread across our countries. In the 1960s, we had the sexual revolution. You can have sex with any number of men and women in any place you want. And it spread across our nation. Then we came to the 80s, and homosexual rights came to the forefront. We had big parades just the other day all across our nation. Gay Pride Day. I have relatives that were in those parades. Folks, it ought not to be, but that's the way it is. It's unbelievable. Now, not immediate family, but distant family that were in those parading and saying homosexuality is just a wonderful, wonderful thing. So, suppose I say today that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior and that I found new meaning in life when I received Him as my Savior. A liberal view would be, well, that's wonderful for you. That works for you. That's great. But if another person came along and said, I went to McDonald's and I met Ronald McDonald and Ronald McDonald changed my life and I'm a different person because of it, they'd say exactly the same thing. That's wonderful. That's great for you if it works for you. Anything you think of now, it's unbelievable to me. We got kids going to the public schools claiming to be a cat. And they put a litter box literally in the bathroom. That happened up in Clare and in Everett, little country towns. And we think, how can people think like that? Folks, do you understand the natural man, a person without Jesus Christ, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God? Because they're foolishness to him. Neither can they know them because they're spiritually discerned. We ought to say, I'm glad some people understand the truth. But folks, we can't expect somebody that's unsaved to understand that there is absolute truth, that they were created by God in His image, and that they are going to live forever. They will tell you that's absolute foolishness. Our federal courts in the last few years have removed prayer from our public schools. I think that was 1963. They took the Ten Commandments out of our schools. They legalized divorce for any reason. You don't have to have a good reason why you get a divorce now. You used to have a pretty good reason why you should be given a divorce. They legalized abortion for any reason, and now they have legalized homosexual marriage across our country. Folks, those things ought not to be. And when those things begin to happen, God's going to start taking away His blessings. We've got to come back to our senses. We've got to come back to the Lord. Any society that says there's no right and there's no wrong, you just do whatever you want to do. We're about to find out how that works. I don't know if you've followed the news lately, but in New York City, the major city in our country, we have a man that got the nomination from the Democratic Party who is a communist, who hates Israel. I don't know how it's going to work out, but for the last many years, whoever got the nomination from the Democratic Party is going to win the race. He wants to do away with the police. Instead of calling the police, you're going to have a social worker come to your house. Your husband has a loaded gun, he's threatening to kill you, and a social worker is going to come. Can't we all just get along? Can we work this out? He's gone. Folks, many of the things that are going on in this nation are absolutely insane, but you can understand it. If there is no God, if there is no truth, then you just do whatever you want to do. How's that working out for us? It's not working out very well. In 1996, 68% of the people in our nation believed that homosexuality was sin. More than half. Folks, that's not true anymore. Many, many, in fact, the majority, believe that homosexual marriage is a perfectly good thing. Lord wants us to know that beyond the constitutional questions, a record high 59% now say they support homosexual marriage. Only 34% say they do not. Homosexuality in the Bible, and I won't take time to give you all the verses today. If you want to know them, I can show them to you. But homosexuality in the Bible is called an abomination in the sight of the Lord. I don't hate homosexuals. I want to lead them to the Lord just like I want to lead somebody who's a thief or a drunkard or an adulterer. They need the Lord. But they don't need to have equal rights, and they don't need to teach my grandchildren that they may not be a boy or a girl. They could be anything they want to be. I don't want that. I would not, hate to say this, I would not allow my children. If I had little children today, they wouldn't be in a public school. You can do with that what you want, but I believe we really are at a crossroads in our nation. We've made some good choices lately. We're on a different pattern right now than we were just a few years ago. But that has to continue. In Jeremiah 6:16, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you'll find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. That's what the nation of Israel said. Jeremiah said, you're at a crossroads. You're about to destroy yourself. You're worshiping all these false gods. God's a jealous God. He's about to bring judgment. It's time to turn. And our nation is time to turn. It's time to choose that we're going to walk God's way. Now the soloist stands up, and the soloist tells us to anticipate. I hope you're looking. I don't want judgment on our nation, because when judgment falls, it falls on everybody. When Daniel, who was a young man, when the nation of Israel went into captivity, just after that psalm, they went into captivity. Daniel is in Babylon without his parents. Why? Because very likely his parents are dead. Daniel went to Babylon and became a eunuch. If you don't know what that means, look it up. Folks, the righteous as well as the unrighteous are hurting when God brings judgment. Don't think it's just those guys that are going to get it. It's going to affect you and your family, your grandkids, if you live long enough. So what do we anticipate for America? I anticipate that America is at the crossroads right now. If we keep moving the direction we're moving right now, it's a positive direction. But if when President Trump winds up his 4 years, got 3.5 left, when that winds up, if we go back and say we want something different, we want total freedom, we want to do whatever we want to do, this nation's going down. Folks, we need to choose to walk with God. And if we don't, judgment is about to fall. Our Lord told us he's going to come back. And I rejoice that I believe the Lord's coming back. I don't look at that as an escape from what's going to happen. I look at that as a wonderful promise. He could come tonight. He could come next week. He could come 1,000 years from now. I don't know when he's coming back. In 1988, a man wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Christ is Coming in 1988. Turns out he was wrong 88 times. Folks, nobody knows when Jesus is coming. But when he comes, it's going to be a blessing. Things are going to be different on this earth. But until he comes, here's what we need to anticipate, just like Israel of old. In Psalm 85, 6, will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. What our Lord wants to do is revive his church. We'd like to say, well, our problem is because of those wicked Democrats or those wicked Republicans or those wicked whatever sin you're thinking about. But do you know that God judges nations based upon what his people are doing in that nation? What is the church doing today? We've seen many churches turn from the clear gospel to a false gospel. Right up in Burt's, United Methodist Church, they had to leave the United Methodist because they were pushing homosexuality upon them. It wasn't just that everybody's free. You got to believe this. Well, they paid the price and bought the building, and now they're not United Methodist. I think they're Global Methodist now. But in any event, the church is the problem. The church is meant to be salt and light. That's you. If you've received Christ, you are to be salt and light. You are to be a politician for the Lord Jesus Christ, declaring his word as truth, and you as his obedient servant. The church has not been doing its job. The church has been sitting on its heels while the liberals are pushing all this stuff that we say is wrong. Do you know, in the last election, not the one that Trump won here, but the one that he didn't, I've heard that over 30 million born-again Christians didn't vote at all. I know a lot of people don't like Donald Trump. And I agree, there's things that he does that just rankle me. Sometimes he says too much. But when you've got a clear choice like that, you've got a choice between a man who says, I'm going to bring back law and order, I'm going to shut down the borders, we're going to get the military back to be in the military instead of pushing all this garbage stuff, and a man who says, hey, bring it on, more of this stuff. Christians got to stand up. You may not have to be vocal about it, but man, oh man, you got to vote. You got to stand up and say, I'm against these things. I'm against homosexual marriage. I'm against homosexuality altogether because my God is. I'm against teaching evolution in the public schools. Why? Because my God is. Do you know what they used to teach in the public schools when the nation was first founded? They had McGuffey's readers. It was full of scripture. They taught boys and girls about the Lord in the public schools. They had prayer every single day. Folks, we've come a long ways, baby, and it isn't good. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I'll heal their land. I want to read that again because this is key. We don't have to have the Democrats all get right. We don't have all the Republicans get right. We got to have the people of God get it right. That's the church. Not just Baptist church, not just Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist. It's all those that have trusted Christ. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. Why hasn't God done that? Because by and large, the church has not turned from their own wicked ways. By and large, the church is not seeking God. We want the popularity of the world. Why are you seeing so often the ad, "We are an inclusive church. Everybody, we accept you as you are"? Why do you see that? Because the churches are looking for numbers. They're not looking to help people come to the truth. The most wonderful thing you can do with a homosexual person is simply tell them the truth. When you come into a church and they lie to them and say, "God's pleased with you, He's blessed in that. Young people can live together outside of marriage, and God's blessed in that. It doesn't matter. Folks, it's a lie. And it's turning our nation away from the Lord. One of my favorite Bible speakers was D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody started a little church in Chicago. It rapidly grew up to be called the Moody Church. And he preached to a congregation one time, and he said at the end of his sermon, he said, "I want you to go home and think about what I've said to you and come back next week, and I'm going to talk to you about the cross and what you will do with Jesus Christ." He dismissed the congregation that day in the evening, and the fire bells in Chicago began to ring. Unknown to him, it was the beginning of the Great Chicago Fire. 300 people lost their lives within 24 hours, and 90,000 people in Chicago were homeless. That was over half the cities in Chicago, or half the homes in Chicago. They're gone. D.L. Moody came back the next week, and he said, "I've never seen the same congregation again. I learned a very valuable lesson when I preached. I always call for a decision on the spot." Folks, I'm going to call for a decision on the spot. Are you at a point in your life where you're ready to say, "I am going to humble myself before God. I'm going to turn from my personal wickedness, whatever that might be in your life, and I'm going to seek God. I'm going to speak for God. I'm going to be salt and light." Because that's how this nation is going to turn. We're at the crossroads. The majority of people in Jeremiah's day said, "We will not turn." The choice is yours. If you want your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren eventually to grow up in a land where they have freedom like you and I have had, we must turn. It starts with us. It's not their fault. It's the church's fault. If the church were doing its job, the nation would not be in the spot that it's in. Sadly, the church, like a bad politician, wets their finger. Which way is the wind blowing? Whatever the people want, that's what I'm going to give them. God says that's not what He wants. He wants you to stand against the current. The current is to take America from a democratic republic to a socialist institution that will tell you what you're going to do, that will take your money that you earn and give it to those that don't want to work at all. Do you know why the Democrats are in such a disarray today? I can't tell you his name, but there was a black statesman standing next to a congresswoman, and he's shaking his cane in the air, and he says, "Musk, get your hands off my money." Do you know whose money Elon Musk was trying to help not be stolen all the time? It was your money and mine. It's your taxes that are going in. And they're using it to support things all over the world that we as a church don't believe in at all. That not ought to be. We shouldn't be providing abortion assistance in Uganda. But we're spending millions of dollars doing it. It's not right. It's time for the church to stand up and say, "Not on our watch. We are going to vote for the most godly candidate who's going to follow the Constitution. But we're going to vote. We're going to stand up and tell others what we think." There's nothing wrong with telling somebody what you think. They may disagree with you. Dave and I got kicked out of a house Saturday because the man said, "What do you think about Donald Trump?" And I said, "I think he's doing a pretty good job." The man jumped out of his chair and said, "Get out of my house." Well, that's okay. His wife was quite concerned, and I said, "Man, that's okay. That's not a problem." But we have to say the truth. We have to stand up sometimes and say, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Father, bless us. As your children, we are the salt and the light. Jesus said he's the light, he's the bread, but Lord, we also are that because we're in Jesus Christ. Help us to make a difference in our lifetime. Help us to have the gumption to speak out for right and to speak against wrong. And your word tells us what is right and what is wrong. And Father, we'll be sure to give you the praise. In Jesus' holy name, amen.